What is the major difference between in-person and webcam counselling?
Well, there are practical issues, first of all. Not everyone has a great connection, for a start, you know, enough broadband width. So on a practical level, they're sorting all of that out, sorting out the technology. Some people are very wary about using the technology if it's for the first time. However, now that we've got the service up and running, we're actually finding that couples are taking to it very well, couples and individuals very, very well. What I would say is the main difference is obviously when you're in a room with the clients, when you're in that safe therapeutic space, you can ensure complete confidentiality within certain guidelines. So you're not going to be interrupted. The rooms are normally soundproofed, and you know that you've got that 50 minutes where that's your space, that's your confidential safe space to be able to talk through whatever's bothering you, whatever issues you have, without interruptions. I think when you're trying to do the sessions from home, that can present different challenges. For instance, you're not always sure whether you're going to be overheard. So that there may be some conversations that you may not want to have over using the webcam technology. However, having said that, most clients that we've worked with so far, they've been able to get that space for themselves, even if it means going into the family car and doing the session from there. At least, you know, when you've got the doors shut on the car, you know that that's a space where you're not going to be overheard. So that's one difference. Another difference is the feel, the visual cues, the body language that you get when you're in a face-to-face session. So when you're using webcam, our practitioners, our therapists, we have to be very aware of whatever visual cues we can pick up. But it may mean that we need to check out with the clients a lot more. So, for instance, we might be asking them what they're experiencing, what feelings they're experiencing in their body at that time. We might not be able to see some of those visual cues, like if they're getting very, very upset, very kind of red, very heated under the collar. We might not be able to see that as clearly. So it's very much about checking out with the client. So in some ways, the therapists, the practitioners, really have to heighten all of their senses to be able to actually understand what's going on for the clients at that particular time. And I would also say that even though it may feel tricky at first and a bit clunky at first, once the session gets underway, it is possible to recreate that sense of calm space where couples and individuals, they can talk about the things that are difficult and are worrying them.
What new issues are people facing?
There are huge issues that we're all facing at the moment. For a start, just trying to manage the impact of this pandemic, we're going through a collective trauma together. We're having to learn new ways of living with what is becoming our new normal. And of course, it's unusual for most people to be inside 24/7, only able to go out for an hour a day at most. So for most people, particularly people with families, you have the experience of being with someone 24/7, being with other family members 24/7, and that brings up all kinds of issues. It brings up issues of needing space, having to be extra tolerant, and also recognizing that people have got different coping mechanisms. So when we feel scared, or when we feel like we've lost control, when we feel powerless, that triggers very often old coping strategies. Now, some of those coping strategies can be useful, but some of them can be not so useful. So some people may want to just withdraw and not speak to anyone, whereas for others, it feels very important to actually be speaking to as many people as possible, to trying to keep connections, whether it's through the phone or online. And for some people as well, acknowledging there are differences in how much people can tolerate in terms of the news that's coming out. Again, some people may want to listen to every item of news. They might want to be checking, you know, every hour or so, or having the radio on continually, getting updates on the news. And that's how they feel, like they're staying informed, and that helps them. It gives them a sense of, well, you know, they've got the latest information. That gives them some sense of control, I suppose. But for others, that can feel very unsettling and very disturbing. They may not want to be having these continual updates. So if you've got a situation in a family where you've got those differences, that needs to be negotiated.
With 6 to 12 sessions, are you expecting more or less if it's over webcam?
I think it is entirely dependent on the clients. For some clients, they may find 50 minutes on the webcam screen, they might find that a bit too much. You know, they might prefer slightly shorter sessions, shorter, but maybe over a longer period of time. Others may actually feel that they only need, you know, a session every couple of weeks. So that's something that we will be able to manage. It's also about really understanding what's going to be most useful for the clients at this particular time. And of course, none of us know how long this situation is going to continue. So at Relate, we have to be very adaptable to this changing situation and respond to what the clients need most.
So who would you say is a really at-risk group in terms of needing counselling?
I'm not sure I'd describe it as at risk, because when we're talking about risk, that raises several other issues. So, for instance, today, the National Domestic Abuse Helpline organisation has been reporting a huge spike in calls to its helpline. So where there is risk in terms of violence or abuse, the appropriate agencies are to ring the police if there's immediate risk, 999, or to ring the organisations like the National Domestic Abuse Helpline or Women's Aid, because they are best placed to give that specialist support. Having said that, there are people who may experience this time more painfully and more acutely than others. So people that are already experiencing mental health issues like anxiety and depression, they may find it difficult to cope on a day-by-day basis, let alone coping, you know, over the weeks. Couples who are already in distress, who are already having relationship difficulties, that may heighten the issues for them when they're living together, again, 24/7. So it's really important that they know that even though face-to-face counselling may not be available at the moment, there is a place they can reach out to relate, and we can talk them through what's going to be helpful for them at this particular point. So all of our counsellors are trained to actually deal with what issues the clients are presenting with. And if we can't help ourselves, we can signpost them to the appropriate agency.
So what pressures is the charity under, and how can people help?
Well, when this lockdown started, even in the weeks before the lockdown, obviously there's a huge drop in clients being able to use the service. So we're hoping that will change now that our webcam service is up and running. We're hoping clients will know that we're still there. We're still very much operational. But various other avenues of revenue that we've had, we've had to close. So, for instance, we have a charity shop in Woodhatch. So that obviously has had to close, and that has been a source of income. Using our service is probably one of the best ways that people can help, but also donations. The money that is donated to Relate goes towards training. It means that for some clients who are really struggling financially, we may be able to offer some bursaries. We are able to keep our costs down because we are able to generate our own revenue, and also we are very proactive about applying for grants and encouraging people to make donations.